Titled the message tonight, Why Is There No Peace in the Land? And we can see, and as we look at the news, as we, whether it be in other parts of the world, or be up in the north or south or east or west, or here in Ada, we find very little peace today in our country, in our land, and in our world. We want to see what God tells us as to the reason for that. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity." My, what a sad situation. And how that there was no peace. Even individuals seemed to have fear and no peace in their hearts. And as we would look at today, as I said earlier, we would find this true now. Why did this happen? There are three reasons God gives us that, and that's found in verse 3. "Now for a long season, that's important, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." And I want us to focus upon America, our great nation. And now for a long season, we see these three things happening in our nation on now. First of all, without a true God, or without the true God, in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11. Here God reveals to us, and as we see this with Israel, we can see this with America. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 11, "Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doeth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Hath the nation changed their gods? America has tried its best. And if we would leave it up to the majority of Americans, they want to change America's God. We have for centuries and down through our history, and God we trust, even on our coins and all throughout our Constitution, this is indicated and brought out. And now today, and for a long time, America has been moving to change their gods, put their trust not in the cisterns that can hold water, the living waters, but they have made cisterns that cannot hold any water that they try to pour in. We're seeing the fulfillment of the actions of the past number of years in our nation, as we've raised a number of generations, telling them that they don't have to go to church, they don't have to worship God, they can do what they feel like, they do however their flesh dictates to them. And so we're moving toward that, and or in that area, a nation without the true God. And even our president made that statement that America was not a Christian nation anymore. There's been a great deal of argument about that. Those of us in the grassroots of our people throughout our nation would say, no, we're still a Christian nation. But as far as the politics are concerned, we're moving away from God. They're trying their best in every which way, whether it be in our literature, be in our education, be in our entertainment world, a nation without the true God. What is the result of this? And as I read this next passage to you, you're going to see America and what's happening today involved in this. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the first reason that we are not at peace is because we're without a true God as a nation and as people in most cases. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. I want you to notice now in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Now, when they knew God, that's America. America knew God, wasn't ashamed to claim that the God of the universe is our God. Had their laws, his laws as our laws. But then we came to the place where we would not glorify him as God. As a nation, we began to move toward that area and give God nicknames, as the man upstairs and so on, which is an insult to our Heavenly Father. And so we would not give him the glory, and neither were thankful. We began to praise the government handout instead of God's blessings. Begin to praise man's activities instead of what God can do. And we became vain in our imaginations. And sometimes I wonder if there are any sane people walking our streets anymore. Vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I've never seen in my lifetime such stupid, foolish things that are being done by so-called leaders of our nation. It doesn't take much smarts of a person to see how foolish these decisions are being made and the results of them in them. Not only did they become fools, professing themselves to be wise, calling in the experts, the advisors, supposed to be the best, and the decisions that come out of that are childish, foolish, and just almost can hardly believe the decisions that are being made. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, we have seen, and I was raised with the idea that foreign nations and other places had their idols, and they worshipped all kinds of things, of animals and birds and so on, and as well as other idols that they could not see or hear. Today, as we really take a look at what we're doing in America, our people are not worshiping God, but they're worshiping idols. Our entertainment world is promoting this like it's never been promoted before. The most hideous, the most ungodly, the most foolish and stupid things, they're raising up. And people are bowing to those things and following them as their gods. Not only that, in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Never in my life would I dream that America would endorse, embrace, and promote homosexuality. But every which way you turn, in our literature, in our laws, strongly moving in that direction, the lust of their own hearts, not the truth and what is right. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. Today they're trying to tell us all of their sexual activities and their involvement with same-sex marriage is a natural thing. God says it's not natural whatsoever. But America is changing that, working at it stronger every day. Verse 27, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was man. America, turning from a true God to their own lust and desires and promoting this as being right, developing laws to support it and to embrace it. Not only that, in verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Now, he's saying all of these things that are wicked and that they're doing when they turn from God and begin to promote all of this ungodly living and wickedness. He's saying that they know God. And Americans do know God. They're involved in the most ungodly deeds and acts that's going on in our society. I was amazed. I forgot to put it down, but the Lord brought it to my mind. Just this past week or so, one of the states passed a law, a community, that the teachers of the school had to wear underclothes, underwear. Can you imagine that even being brought up? What would cause that? They weren't doing it secretly. It was something being done openly and had to make a guideline in one of the schools to say this will not be allowed. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. No wonder there's no peace. One of the reasons why there was no peace was that they were without the true God for a long season. And we have been without the true God in our nation for a long season, too long. And it doesn't seem to be turning around at this point. Now the second reason, if you look at your text there in Deuteronomy, where that verse 3 of Deuteronomy 15, just keep your finger there. We're going to come back to it. I'll put you a marker there, Deuteronomy 15, verse 3. For now, for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Second Chronicles. I said Corinthians, didn't I? I'm sorry. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Thank you. Second Chronicles, chapter 15. Our text, verse 3. Put a marker there, and so you can find it again, because we'll come back to it. So the second reason, not only are they without true God, but without a teaching priest. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. And it seems as though this was written today in America. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. And here we would use the word preachers instead of priest in that, and rightly so. but I'm going to read it as it is, and in your mind, you'll understand preachers fit the bill just as well today. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profane among them. Saying that the preachers, the churches, have made no difference between what was holy and that which is not. Now, I'm not talking about what the world's doing out there. When we look at America today and travel throughout our land and see what's going on in our churches, it's embarrassing. In our churches today, you can't hardly tell the difference between the members and people who are not saved. They dress alike, they talk alike, they act alike, even smell alike. No one is standing up and putting a difference there, saying a difference. No one is crying out that in the matter that God has called us to live a holy life, a righteous life, a life that God has set before us. And now coming from our churches and our preachers, our pastors and all, is that if we're going to win the world, we got to look like them. We got to act like them. And even to the point now that our churches are designed in a way not to look like a church anymore. Some of them boast that their church doesn't look like a church, doesn't act like a church. Well, I got news for you. They're not a church. So they're putting no difference. Notice what else it says in verse 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves raving the prey to shed blood and destroy soul to get dishonest grain. Dishonest gain. What's the big deal? The dollar. Whatever it takes to get the dollar in, we'll do it. That's our main goal in that. Today, even in churches, we're not going to fool with children. They don't bring in any income. Now, this is not an exaggeration. Used to, you might find one or two churches that way, but that's going across the country involved in America. Without a true God, what are we doing in our churches? When our churches are not right with God, no wonder the world is like it is. Verse 28, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies into them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Untempered mortar. To build us a wall of protection for our kids from an ungodly society. Instead of building it properly, they've compromised. Instead of using the right ingredients in the mortar that would go between the bricks or between the blocks, they have diluted it, would not follow the true teaching of God's word, compromising with the world, and the wall will not stand, and our churches are crumbling around us because we have forsaken God in our teaching and not make a difference that is there. Notice verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the strangers wrongfully. What's our problem? No difference between the good and evil in our churches. Notice verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. These years that America has been traveling down this pathway, trying to deny God, trying to wipe out any resemblance of it, and as far as the world is concerned, and business is concerned, or entertainment is concerned, why hasn't God brought judgment years ago? He's been searching for a man. He's been searching for God's people who will stand in the gap and once again declare the truth of God's word and what is right and what is wrong. But in Ezekiel's time, he found none. Will we find another Billy Graham? Will we find another Billy Sunday? Will we find the preachers who will stand up in the pulpit and declare the truth without any embarrassment, with love and compassion, who will call sin a sin, a spade, and not beat around the bush about it? I think God is still looking for a man that will stand, a church that will stand, God's people throughout our land of America. So the first reason, they denied the true God. The second reason, they have not or do not have any teaching priest. They'll teach everything under the sun but what God's word really says. Compromise in every which way possible. We don't want to offend anyone. I was accused one time of preaching, and after the service said, "Man, you're scaring the kids." I said, "If I can scare them out of hell, I'm just delighted. I'd rather do that than to baby them and let them go to hell." But our churches don't want to offend anyone, afraid we might upset this person or that person. Brother, it's about time we upset the apple cart. Jesus upset those in his day. He went in to the dives and the dens, the beer halls, and overthrew their tables. No, he went into the temple, beat the animals that were for sacrifice so they couldn't do it again, and threw the tables over that of the money changers. We need a cleansing being done in God's house. But now there was a third reason for that. Look at 2 Chronicles 15 again, verse 3. "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law." Without law. What is the purpose of the law? Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. God gave us the perfect law. Law wherewith to run a nation, to help us to serve him, to help us to help one another, and to get along with one another. And our nation started out with that law. But then we have changed the law. And we're still changing the law. In Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of conspicuousness. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be to death. For sin, taking occasion by commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by commandment might become exceeding sinful." We had those laws. Marriage was between a man and a woman. Oh, that offended some people. And so now the law is being changed. It's all right for a same-sex marriage. Even one of our judges on our Supreme Court performed a homosexual marriage. This is a judge on our Supreme Court of our nation. Not to mention all else that's going on. Changing the law to approve sin. Now today, you talk to our policemen. they're frustrated. As they try and as they try to enforce the laws are being changed where the criminals can get off and not punished at all. What's the use of arresting them? They'll be right back out. When we change the law, we're without a law. Doing exactly what happened there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, the law is to stop ungodliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good, and if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that if the law is not made, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Oh, my. America today is without law. The law that we have now and that is being revised, reworked, is to promote sin and ungodliness, to honor those who cheat and lie. Sometimes we have an investigation made of some of our politicians. My, what a mess. And if they don't stop, it goes through the whole lot of them, our lawmakers. No wonder we've got the laws that we have today that weaken it, water it down, or change it that would support sin. So I think in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, that could be written for today. For a long time, or a long season, America has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Well now, the result of that in verse 5, in those times, in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 5, in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon the inhabitants of the countries. Not only here in America, but throughout our world. We were the nation that stood for liberty. We were the nation that stood for freedom. We were the nation that was to treat their citizens with honor and respect. Now, we've become a joke. We've joined in with the rest of the nations in this. There's no peace in the land. But now notice verse 8 of this chapter. I'm glad that's not the end of the story. There's good news in verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Repentance. A change. And America can repent. And America can change. And it starts with us. We want others to change. How can we expect others to change when we won't change? When we talk about what others are doing, we need to look in the mirror. We'll find ourselves got our little fingers and some of that. We might not be doing that, but we're not saying anything against it. By our silence, we support it. Involved in that. We need to come to that place of repentance where we start with ourselves. We're not going to compromise. We're going to be true to God, regardless of what anyone else does. We're going to do what God wants us to do, not what the world wants us to do. And we're not going to be ashamed to be called a Christian. We're not going to be ashamed to stand for the teaching of God's word. We need to repent and get back with God and bring our nation back to God in repentance that is there. Now notice now in verse 12 of this chapter. And they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. It's not a matter of stop doing that which is wrong, but it's a matter of commitment to doing that which is right. We've got a lot of people who have come to our churches, yeah, those things are wrong, but don't expect me to be committed to doing that which is right. One of our biggest problems in our churches is commitment. People staying true to God and not compromising, not just say, well, I'll let the other person do it. We need to take our stand. We need to be committed not only to repent of that which is wrong, but committed. Enter into a covenant where we are committed to serving our God. Notice now in verse 15 now. And Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Peace was restored. Peace can be restored. Peace must be restored to America and to this world. And it begins with each one of us. The four reasons, or three reasons, why there's no peace in the land for a long time without the true God. For a long time without a teaching priest, preaching the word of God, no compromise. For a long time without the law of God, declaring what is good and what is evil. No apology. How do we get there? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 now. So just back up to chapter 7, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, or if there's no peace. You see, that's not in there, but that's what he's talking about. Verse 14, if my people, not the lost, the saved, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. That was in the temple then. It's true in the church today. We must come to that place of repentance. We must come to that place where we recognize the true God. As a nation, not only as individuals, but as a community, it starts with us. And once again, it can spread out to the nation. I've heard some people arguing about the matter of the homosexuals. Say, that's just a 1%, not even 1% that are that way. Very small. And yet, that little small group has poisoned the minds of our nation. What will a little small group with God do to our nation? Just as that little small group began to change our great nation, we can change our nation back to God. It begins with us, where we'll get our lives right with Him. Amen or oh me. there's hope, there's assurance. We have a loving Father, but we must do it His way. And I pray that you will. And let it start with you. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, I ask the question of myself, will we learn from the past? Father, you've had these words written so that we would see ourselves as we are, that we would learn from the past and correct the problems that we face. Give us boldness. Give us courage. May we be committed to you regardless of others. May it start with us tonight. May we come to this altar not only in repentance but commitment. May we practice again from the depths of our soul and faith, believing in the power of prayer, that we might pray that you would bind the forces that is hindering our nation and set our people free, that you'd change the minds of our president, of our leaders of this great nation. Father, that they would turn back to you, that you'd change the minds of our churches, that they would realize we're not to compromise, but we're to set the example. We're to raise the bar high, the goal to be where they will achieve, to strive to be. Now, Father, you've spoken to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to your word. For it's in the precious name of Jesus I pray, and for his glory, amen. God has spoken to your heart. Might be you need to come and intercede for a soul. Might be you need to come and pray for this nation. For our church, that it will be solid and stand true. God has spoken to your heart. You come and make that decision as we sing.